A priest parked his car illegally. He left a note on the windshield saying, "I'm a priest, can't find a parking space. Please don't give me a ticket. Forgive my trespasses." On returning, he found a ticket on his windshield with this note, "I'm a cop. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll commit sin. Lead me not into temptation." But if you attach a large paper bill on your license, it's all right. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, of course, a funny version of our Lord's Prayer, which is subject of this 17th Sunday in our gospel this morning. "Lord, teach us to pray," one of his disciples says. Jesus replies, "When you pray, say, 'Father, holy be your name.'" This gospel this Sunday ends with Christ warning to persevere in prayer. This persevering spirit is illustrated in the first reading when Abraham bargains with God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Or in the gospel, when the sleepy friend responds to his neighbor, not because he is generous, but because of the neighbor's annoying persistence. God wants us to experience his infinite mercy and allow it to define our discipleship. In the first reading, God's mercy is relentless. In the dialogue between Abraham and God, Abraham's persistence is met with God's eagerness to grant mercy. God's response to those who call upon his name is first and foremost mercy. He is far more occupied with finding even the slightest sign of goodness, holiness, and repentance than caring about our sinfulness. No sin is too big for God's mercy. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah had quite the reputation, and yet that did not deter God from offering a path forward. Divine justice finds its fullness through mercy. No matter how far we have strayed, we are only one step away from returning to God. One sunny day, Jesus had a day off. He decided to play golf and was paired up with Moses and a small elderly man. Jesus was the first to tee off, and he hit the ball a little left, and it ended up in the water hazard. Because it was Jesus, his ball floated, and when he got down to the hazard, he walked upon the water and hit the ball onto the green. Moses was the next to tee off, and like Jesus, he hit the ball into the water hazard. When he got down to the hazard, he parted the waters and hit the ball onto the green. The little old man was next, and he too hit into the water hazard. Just then, a big fish swallowed the ball and began to swim away. A hawk swooped down and grabbed the fish and started to fly off. As the hawk passed over the green, it tightened its grip on the fish, which caused the ball to pop out of the fish's mouth. The ball landed on the green and rolled into the cup. Jesus then turned to the old man and said, "Look, Dad, if you're going to play, play fair. Have some mercy." God wants us to experience him as he is so that we can live the life he planned for us. Pope Francis writes, "Mercy is the first attribute of God. The name of God is mercy. There are no situations we cannot get out of. We are not condemned to sink into the quicksand. Experiencing and trusting in God's mercy are the primary task of our discipleship. All of us have experienced fear-based leadership, perhaps a boss, a parent, a coach, teacher, or bully, created an environment where we found ourselves operating primarily out of fear. Fear of making the slightest mistake and being punished, or getting on the boss's wrong side and being ostracized, or of constantly being judged and found unworthy. These experiences have real and lasting effects on us, teaching us to anticipate punishment, to blame others, and become overcritical of ourselves. Our fears and anxieties then often slide into other areas of our lives, including our walk of discipleship and the ways we picture God. Without even realizing it, we can slip into believing that God is like an angry boss, dead set on punishing us. Then the Christian life becomes much more like a fear-based work environment than in the life of abundance. Some years ago, on a Sunday evening, my wife and I received a call telling us about a horrible accident in which a young woman was killed in a car accident. Our relative was driving the car. The pain of the news was too much to bear. It was like having a heart attack, the pain in my chest. I felt that day was no greater than if I had a heart attack. We walked over to the chapel that evening to sit in the presence of our Lord. I just sat there numb by what was happening before us. Within moments, a deep peace came over us. The events of the day were soothed by our presence in adoration. Later, we went to the young lady's funeral in a church that was not Catholic. The service was very moving, with singing, testimonies, and deep sharing of the sorrow of the moment. Whenever someone young dies, the tragedy is overwhelming. The loss of what could have been just seems to me too much to bear. Later, I realized how important it is to be able to have the Mass as our cornerstone of our faith, the Amen that we say, the Eucharist that we receive, and the availability of the true presence of Jesus in adoration does make all the difference. Though Jesus, the mercy of God, became flesh and tenderly embraced those most in need of reconciliation with God, God wants us to experience divine mercy. Mercy is our daily bread. God offers mercy daily at every moment, right now. And we need it. He knows that daily we struggle with fear, anxiety, self-hate, sin, and shame. Each moment, God wants to offer us His mercy and help. God does not tire of forgiving us. Only we tire of asking for forgiveness. Every ocean, river, and stream will dry up before God's mercy will. That mercy is eternal and infinite, and we must be persistent, unwavering, in calling out for forgiveness and strength. God's mercy changes how we church. The name of the church must be mercy. As church, we must extend mercy as our first response, never believing people are too far gone or that they sin too great. Just as we hear in Our Father, receiving the mercy of God and extending it go hand in hand. Christians cannot be preoccupied with the sin of others. Rather, like Abraham, we must be preoccupied with advocating for them to receive mercy. In the church, justice and mercy come together. Christians are called to be relentless in their mercy, tireless in their tenderness, and committed to holding together both justice and mercy. In a few moments, we will be invited to pray as Jesus taught us. As we join our voices in prayer, we empty ourselves of the frustrations, the angers, the hurts that keep us from experiencing His loving presence.